As you all know, we have just this one case set on our docket for this afternoon. Everett versus State of Texas, cause number 215-134-CR. And I'm Justice Livingston. To my right is Justice Meyer, and to my left is Justice Gabriel. And I understand you all have checked in and set forth your time. We have had a little trouble with our lighting system. So if we miss it, our clerk will let us know. So, okay, so Mr. St. John, if you're ready to proceed.
Thank you, Chief Justice Livingston. Happy New Year to everybody. I appreciate the opportunity to argue briefly, and I've cut my time back to 10 minutes, briefly for Mr. Everett. Chief Justice Livingston and Justice Gabriel and Justice Meyer, good to see you again. I'm going to only address one single issue, the first issue, specifically, and I know the law historically, and I've researched this for many years, historically is against my client regarding the jury's province of, they get to decide fact-based issues in terms of what happened. But I would more specifically address to the court that the state did not prove beyond a reasonable doubt, and the evidence was legally insufficient to establish that my client had a specific intent to kill, unfortunately, Randy Pacheco on February the 25th, 2014. Very briefly, the court's seen the statement of facts, but unfortunately, my client made a horrible mistake that day. He didn't ever deny, and he admitted under oath and pled guilty to ag robbery that he did commit the offense of robbery, but he also testified under oath that he had no intent to kill Randy Pacheco, and that's the only issue I want to address. I'm not going to address the double jeopardy issue or the issues of the 403 under the rules of evidence. Specifically, my client made a horrible mistake that day, actually had apparently used controlled substance, went to the Red Wing shoe store in Arlington, committed the offensive robbery. And the state points out, which I've known Mr. Connor for a long time, and he's a very good lawyer, and actually he's a good friend of mine. He points out that the jury could reasonably conclude that my client had the intent to take Mr. Pacheco's life because of several things. One thing is he says he admitted to and planned the robbery. That doesn't show that he had the specific intent to take Mr. Pacheco's life, that he parked the truck behind the Red Wing shoe store. That goes once again to his intent to commit aggravated robbery, which he admitted to. Also, that he demanded money from him. That once again, Justices, goes to the fact that he had the intent to commit aggravated robbery. That he took $200. Well, unfortunately, that's a very tragic situation. Most robberies, there's not much money taken anyway. One thing that really points to helps the court conclude, did the state legally prove beyond a reasonable doubt that there was a specific intent? And the state says that this would be indication that there was intent to commit capital murder. There was no signs of a struggle in the store. I think that shows my client had no intent to harm anybody, simply was there to rob the store. He went in to look at a pair of boots, apparently didn't have the money to buy them, but I would suggest to the court, based on the testimony, he always had an intent to rob the store. He was just casing out the store. He comes back in with a hoodie, a mask, so there's no way Mr. Pacheco could ever identify him in any live lineup had he not been, unfortunately, shot and killed. So
even by asking for the same boots that he had asked for earlier and couldn't afford to buy, wouldn't that kind of be a perhaps an indication that it was the same man who was in there earlier?
Well, that is true to a certain extent, Your Honor. But that doesn't establish he had the specific intent to take his life.
No, I was just saying, you said that there was no way he could identify him, and I'm just saying that's a way to at least cast some identification.
Well, I do stand correct on that. He did see him before, but I would suggest to the court, he didn't know who he was. He had never seen him before. There's no testimony he knew he was. And I would suggest to the court that he couldn't identify him regarding being the perpetrator of a robbery. So the state goes on to say that my client took him into the back storeroom. There was an exit door. And my client testified that he had, and he doesn't ever dispute having a gun, Justice Gabriel. Even told the police, which I was quite surprised about after being a lawyer for as long as I have, he told the police on the, there's no doubt he was trying to hide from the police. That is undisputed. He changed vehicles, had a different car that he bought from, I can't remember, the dealership in Arlington, Moritz, I think. But the thing is, what's just so odd is, if he's trying to hide that he killed someone, he takes the same gun that he used during the robbery and puts it in the glove box of his new car, which was, quite frankly, bizarre to me. And I would further suggest that he didn't have a specific intent to kill anybody. He did go there with the intent to commit a robbery, trying to see if the timer's working correctly. But in his own testimony, he testified that the gun, I believe, was in his right hand. I think there's some crime scene photographs, if y'all, that's y'all's choice, can look at them. How the door opened up, he had to switch hands to go out. He did ask for those boots, and Mr. Pacheco threw the boots towards him, startled him. The gun went off. Now, Mr. Connor very succinctly argues, and there's some cases that are along this way, that if you take a gun to a robbery and you kill someone, then maybe the jury could infer that it is a specific intent crime. But I would argue that the state didn't prove that in this case. I will admit to the court, the behavior afterwards is very strange, that he goes to, I can't think of his friend's name, hooks up with his friend, goes right across the parking lot, not a street, at a pool hall, and watches the activities. I would argue in the state's brief and dispute that, and even the state tried to say during trial, that he didn't seem upset or anything. I don't think the evidence ever showed that. That was just the state's position in terms of how he felt. So I would suggest to the court that there's legally no evidence to establish beyond a reasonable doubt that he had a specific intent to take this man's life. And I know historically the cases are against my client's position in terms of the jury having deference to what actually occurred versus what could have occurred. But I would suggest to the court that the state did not prove beyond a reasonable doubt, which I mentioned. And here's a brief analogy we use all the time in voir dire on capital cases. Someone, and I know everybody was a judge before, appellate judge, and I know you're a trial judge in Denton County. This is the best analogy. If you go into 7-Eleven to rob the store, and you have a gun, and your intent is to rob the store, but you shoot the gun in the air, the bullet ricochets off a piece of metal and kills the clerk, that is not capital murder. It's murder. There's no doubt it's murder. Intentionally takes someone's life, knowingly takes someone's life. And that's my argument here. He didn't have any intent to kill this young man. Why would he want to kill him? What motivation would he have to kill him? Therefore, I would suggest to court, once again, the state has failed to prove his case beyond a reasonable doubt.
All right. Thank you, Mr. St. John. Mr. Condor.
Good afternoon. May it please the court. Steve Condor on behalf of the state of Texas. I think that there is ample evidence in the record to show that the appellant had a specific intent to kill. We make the point in our brief about both the fact that he shot the victim at close range and that he brought a deadly weapon, and that there are cases that support that. But I think it goes even beyond that. Mr. St. John brought up an argument, the fact that there was no sign of struggle. But if you look at what the defendant testified to, and he's testified basically that he felt something hit him in the chest, a shoebox, but yet there was nothing from the testimony of the owner of the operator of the store that there was anything out of place in the back room. And so I think that gave the jury something to disbelieve the defendant's accident theory. I think he undercut his own claims that this was accidental shooting by his own testimony. Again, he also, this testimony that he is to his brother, where he told his sister-in-law, where he told him that no, he didn't shoot them because of some accident. He told him he shot them because he was scared. And that shows the fact that he was scared they'd be identified. And so that shows that, you know, he intentionally did it. It wasn't just, you know, the gun went off and it hit the person in the head. And this is also not a situation of where he fires the gun in the air and it bounces off. I mean, he shot the store clerk point blank in the forehead from a close distance. I think the fact that the distance to it and the fact that he used a gun and the fact that his own accident theory is undermined by the testimony that he gave at trial as well as the other evidence, the jury was well within their rights to find, I don't believe any of this, that it was an accident, and that I believe that the defendant committed this robbery and then killed this defendant and killed the store clerk simply because he was afraid he'd identify him, or he was scared that he'd identify him, or for some reason, but that he acted with intent when he shot him. And I think that the evidence is out there in the record that supports the jury for coming to that conclusion. And so I think that this court can look at the cases the state cites in its brief and come to the same result, that this was an intentional shooting that occurred in the course of a robbery, that they both done with specific intent to kill, so that he couldn't identify him based upon his prior visits into there and what he stole. If the court has no further questions, the state would pray for an affirmance.
Thank you, Mr. Condor. Mr. St. John.
Thank you again, Chief Justice Livingston. Very briefly, I want to reiterate, first of all, there were no shoes on the ground, because when the shoes were tossed at my client based on his testimony, he took those boots, and they recovered those boots. Once again, he wasn't too brilliant. They recovered those boots in the trunk of the car he had traded in place of the Toyota Tacoma. I'll reiterate, he testified under oath. He doesn't have any prior criminal history. I know what his actions were horrible, and there's no excuse for his behavior. But he testified that it was an accident. There was no fight, no scuffle. The gun went off when the boots hit him. And if he had the intent to kill him, why shoot him one time and leave? I mean, shoot him more than once, that's a question that it's all conjecture on my argument in terms, but there's no factual basis he intended to kill the young man. He did not have a conscious objective or desire to kill Mr. Randy Pacheco. There was no struggle. The evidence was insufficient as a matter of law to commit my client of capital murder. Thank you.
Let me ask one question. I haven't looked at the record yet, but is there a video of any kind from inside the store?
Yes, Chief Justice Livingston. There is. It's kind of weird. There's a video. You can see him first come in with, he's just wearing regular clothes. There's a little dog. Mr. Pacheco's little dog is there. He does try on some boots, and then as someone comes back, you don't know who it is. Eventually, we do know it's my client, but he has a mask on, or I guess a toboggan on and a hoodie and dark clothing. And you could see him instructing you don't hear anything, but you can see him instructing Mr. Pacheco to do certain things. It's very tragic. Mr. Pacheco completely cooperated with Mr. Everett. There's never disputed that in trial. But there's no camera in the back room. The Red Wing Shoe Store didn't have a camera in the back part of the store, Your Honor. But you do see, and if the court wants to take the time, you can watch the two different videos, the first one where he comes in, the second one where he's dressed in clothing so you can't, his appearance is hidden. But nothing can be established factually from what actually happened in the back room. Now, the police officer there's a single gunshot. There's a casing, which I think there's an officer testified someone must have kicked out onto the entryway of the building. There's a single casing, 9mm casing, that's outside. And there's no dispute that he robbed the clerk, but I would suggest to the court it is disputed that he specifically intended to take his life. Thank you, Jessica.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. St. John.
Today's my birthday. I want to let you know I was arguing on my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, Your Honor.
And Happy New Year to both of you all. We appreciate your arguments and your briefing in this matter. Your case is now submitted, and we will adjourn court.